Hi mate, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad, you?
This is a big exam question.
Sorry, say that again, because you cut out.
I have a big exam question.
Go on.
£262,000 corporation tax.
Yeah.
140,000 VAT tax.
Yeah.
Well, that is my exam question, isn't it?
Yeah. What about
it? Well, it's difficult to lose £400,000 in tax, mate, because that's £400,000 at 20% on each account.
Yeah.
Which basically means you're looking at 2 million quid worth of costs I've got to find.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I can do it?
So, is it, you're saying it's 140 VAT. Is that based on current figures so far?
Well, basically, in a very, very high level, mate, I think it looks something like this. The company makes 2 million quid. The company gets given... So Jets makes 2 million quid a year based on revenue, on turnover, based on historic action. These are absolute ballpark figures, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. You put a bill in for 1.4 million. Rand Limited gave you the company. Therefore, 1.4 million is therefore the value of the company. Therefore, the company has received 1.4 million in income from 1.4 million in income from Rand to Jet in terms of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they've basically given you the business, and the business is calculated effectively at the cost of your invoice, which was 1.4.
Yep.
So now, in a very, forget Jet and Jets and Ran and la la, very simply, I think it looks something like this. Ultimately, and however Albie and Steve Potter have done it, effectively, I think it works out that 2 million quid, so let's take a look at Jet. Imagine it's one company, because otherwise it's complicated. Let's say Jets, okay?
Yep.
Jets has effectively been given a business worth 1.4 million, and it makes 2 million a year. So its income for the year is 3.4 million.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We basically take a ballpark figure that when we're not fighting legals and all that bollocks, that we should be able to make 500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, what's that? Sorry, mate, it's all right, this is my alarm, I got to let one of the bitches out. So, actually did have a bird over tonight, it was the larger of the anyway, so, if you imagine Jets makes 3.4 million, right?
Yep.
So forget the 1.4 additional. Normal operation of business would be 2 million quid.
Yep.
Yeah? Let's assume we think we can make anything between 500 and 700,000 on a normal operating year, right?
Yep.
Well, whether I think.
Yep.
So basically, and I'm, what's it called? A Machiavellian narcissistic, self-absorbed, narcissistic or dictatorial prick. So let's assume my argument is correct. It's late, man. I'm very tired, so excusing my indulgences at this time. But basically, 2 million quid, 1.5 costs, well, 1.3 to 1.5 costs would normally give us without any of the legal shits we've been doing. In the old world, which, to be honest with you, they ran better than we're currently doing. We have to accept that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, their debtors were much better.
Just generally more efficient.
HR costs were less because they were recruiting people at 20 grand. We're now paying people 30 grand. La, 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 whatever, right? But having said that, our office costs were subsided down a bit, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, imagine we forget the 1.4, 2 million quid costs of, let's say, 1 million, right? But 1.5 million, but they're not, because in the draft accounts, there's basically about 600 grand of costs,
mm-hmm.
which I don't I don't understand, but in my head, let's say 1.5 costs, use 500 grand profit. The problem is 500 grand profit plus 1.4 million goodwill.
Yeah.
So that's 1.9 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Corporation tax on, which is effectively 2 million. Corporation tax at 20% on 2 million is 400,000.
Yeah.
And VAT on, well, roughly speaking, if you got a profit of, what should I say, 2 million?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, that's roughly speaking, should be the net input-output on VAT as well. So you've basically got, these maths are very, very ballpark, but you've basically got VAT at 20% net-net, which is 400 grand, and then you've got 400 grand in corporation tax. So effectively, you've got 800 grand tax bill. Now, because of the various things that we've done in the past, we've actually not got a 800 grand tax bill. We've got, this is cross-party VAT and corporation tax. We've got a 400 grand tax bill.
Yeah.
So we've already done pretty well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we still have a 400 grand tax bill and we have about 50 grand in the account.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. So it's a case of just getting on the payment plan.
Well, no, I think it's...
Well, we can push it down a bit more.
My plan is to write a letter to you and Lintz and Orbs and say, I understand that you wanted to run the company on your own and that you wanted me to take a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave the current situation of £400,000 next bit.
Thanks for that.
That's my plan. What do you think of it?
It's brilliant for you.
Well, no, it's not really brilliant for me because my mum shareholding go... Because I think the reality of how that works out is you all go bankrupt in about 1 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not great, really, if you think about it. If my mum's a shareholder,
she's
not very happy, is she?
No.
So, again, what do you think of my plan? It's a shit plan.
Yeah. Definitely shit for me.
My plan is to do what I do and see if I can fix it. And I don't have an answer for you tonight. But
okay, I was hoping...
I'm an arrogant prick and I can probably find a way. So
I was hoping you would have had more of an idea by now.
I do, but I'm just not sharing it with you until I have a full picture.
Okay, fair enough.
Not because I'm being a dick, just because...
You want to know. I had
a conversation with James Vose and Adam Vose earlier, and I spent about 3 hours trying to explain various accounting policies and write downs and disbursements and offset of VAT and the technical requirements for disbursements and the breakdown of fucking. Basically, it was an accounting lesson, and I should have done it on a conference call between the two of them, and I didn't, and I had to therefore repeat it twice.
Yeah.
Therefore, because Jamie came after Adam, I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to do the same? Do you want to do the same with me now?
Like me said, you know, you've got a fucking code issue.
Yeah.
And you say, well, what's the issue? I mean, you'd have to spend 3 hours explaining how code works to me before you could explain how there may be possible fixes, right?
Yeah,
it's the same account. It's no fucking different with accounts, mate. Mm-hmm. There's basically a bunch of fucking principles and accounting policies that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
I am rusty, I'll be honest with you, and also I have never really dealt with small businesses except for my mother's B&B, which, you know, was much smaller numbers than this. So, you know, I know a lot about big corporation tax. I know a lot about tiny fucking B&B that really
I
don't really worry about because it's not going to kill us either way, whatever happens. But mate, this is a fucking challenge, honestly. And and the weird thing is, although, like, I am semi, like, because I've become sort of numb to, like, you know, Aubrey, I don't know if you know this, but I've told Aubrey not to distribute post anymore, like on the post box. Do you know that?
He mentioned something about.
No, it's fine. I'm not hiding it.
Yeah,
but I've asked him to manage the post and just send it to me because ultimately, if you get a fucking letter saying, like the other day, we got a letter fucking criminal prosecution, yeah, for Jets.
Yeah.
Did you see? No, I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I got it in the end because PJ Marks forwarded a copy to me, so I got the same letter.
Oh, well, that's good of them, given that they fucking moan at me all the time about going, oh, Jason goes on about stuff he doesn't understand, la, 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 la. And it's like, oh, why the fuck are they forwarding this shit anyway? Okay, fine, maybe they have to as a director, but whatever. The point is that I said to Orbs, I said, look, you know, there's no point distributing a fucking, you know, VAT demand or a fucking we are late on fucking tax. Because, let's be honest, mate, because you, what the fuck do you know about accounting? Let's be honest, nothing, really.
No, but I do know that they should have been done probably about 18 months ago.
If you really well, I know, that's not true. Because if we'd done it 18 months ago, the solutions I'm going to put in place now I wouldn't be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the allowance of corporation tax that they give you 12 months and all the shit we've done VAT and blah, blah, and all the delays and whatever, you think it's not because I'm like, fuck it, I can't be able to do it and I just let it run. Basically, because we've given ourselves this time, even though we've been fined, whatever, yeah? Mm-hmm. Now I'm able, because of that time, to, well, hang on. If I fail to do it, you can fucking rip me a new arsehole, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that that time now enables me to structure, define documents, planning, not a lot. And if I'd have done it on the day that the HMRC and companies had to ask for it, I would have had to declare X, Y, and Z, and therefore I wouldn't be able to manipulate the figures to help us do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really make any sense to you, but...
No, I know what you're meaning. I know what I can read between the lines. That, yeah, deferring it.
Basically, I can now manipulate X, Y, and Z legally to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I can. Because that's my question. I was saying to you, that's my exam question.
Yeah. But you think you can?
If I'd have done it, well, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, if I can, then you need to get down on your fucking knees and suck my cock for at least 45 years.
Hopefully you die before that.
But let's be honest, the reality is, I'll be lucky to get a thank. But anyway, here's what it is, mate. I'm not telling you I can fix it. It's a massive fucking challenge. I'm actually really excited by the challenge in a weird, sadistic way.
You always are excited by very sadistic things, I've noticed, which is...
Because I'm like, I rang Bosie today and I was like, I have to believe that I'm brighter than the HMRC, people that work at HMRC.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not, then, well, okay, I may as well, then I'm just going to be a gardener. Like, I like the challenge. You must feel this a bit of coding sometimes, when you've got a challenge to make something work, and it's like...
No, no, I know what you're saying.
It is, if you take away the fact that it's majorly fucking important and critical, yeah? The actual intellectual...
Yeah, yeah.
...is, like, I kind of like it. I'm like, okay, fuck, this is fucking difficult. How do I fix it?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got a fix by now, but I'm feeling very arrogant this evening. Therefore,
mm-hmm.
I believe I'll fucking nail it.
So, okay. Well,
You asked me about something. There was something about this called Pacific. I cannot talk to you about your stuff right now, mate.
No, no, there's a couple of things I want to go over quickly.
I'm not being a dick.
No, no.
I have to focus.
No, I realise. Can I just run? Go on.
But, you know, like, I am up against it because basically we have got to file this by Thursday.
Yeah, so just a couple of things. I'll try and be fairly quick. Firstly, if there's anything on the accounts front that is missing from what I've sent you that you don't already have, let me know. It's better to let me know. Otherwise, they forward you literally every invoice I've got. Well, most of them have gone to you anyway, or gone to Adam Vose, so you'll have copies.
Okay. Adam Vose is of no fucking value whatsoever in terms of managing invoices, mate. Let's be
no,
honest.
No, but you have...
Not flagging them off, but...
But you have access to his emails. You have access to his GCV emails if needs be, or he can forward...
Depends what... No, I don't have access to all Adam's emails, so it depends what you mean by access to his email.
Well, you'll soon know. So the ones that tend to go to Adam...
It's fine, but can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Of all the shit that you sent,
yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Do you think PJM have all of those invoices already?
They have most of them.
Are most of them or all of them? Because basically what we work,
they have, I've sent them at some point.
I've got to come up with a bunch load of fucking costs and a bunch load of accounting sexy shit to fucking lose fucking money. Otherwise we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or as I said to you before, we bury the company, it goes into liquidation a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but I want the decision to bury the company and go into liquidation.
Last resort.
No, not last resort. I want it to be an option.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to sit there and go, we've got option A, bury the company and it goes into liquidation, we save 400 grand. Or option B, George is a genius. This is what I'm working on at the moment. George is a genius, and therefore we can pay the money or use these accounting principles, and therefore we don't have any fucking tax to pay, or minimal tax to pay.
Yeah.
And then we have the choice, and we can say, right, let's bury the company, let it go tits up like Harry would for 400 grand, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And let's use the costs and benefits of the accounting policies George has come up with for a new code.
Yeah, okay.
Or we don't decide that. We actually want to continue with Jets, whatever. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we use the policies today. I want it to be a choice. Like, there's no fucking way.
And this is a choice for, like, Mehul and LSC people, I presume.
Yeah, so sort of LSC plus.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you've obviously seen the shit with Mehul blah, flying around. I mean, I text Mehul the other day, like, he said something. I basically text the other day saying, look, the plan for Mehul, like, plan for seeing, blah, blah, blah. And he texted, I think he sent some message. I don't know if you've seen his emails, but he basically replied saying, you know, yes, positive progress, but Mr. Shankar Tank Patel protects all his fucking rights and interests and la, 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 la. And I replied to him and said, really, mate? You know, I'm doing fucking 100-hour weeks again, and you're sending those messages. But on the flip side, I do owe him a reply.
Mm-hmm.
And I am overdue, but what do you want me to do? Do you want me to focus on the 400 grand tax bill that I've got to do for Thursday or Mehul's shares? It's like, and it's been like this for a couple of weeks, you know, like there's been other things that I've had to address. So, you know, like, I'm not sitting on my fucking arse, mate. I'm fucking trying to focus on the critical shit for the business and... Well, I guess also in my head, I'm like, look, mate, Mehul, I'll sort of share that with you as is fair. Yeah. So I'm not even worrying. Like in my head, I'm like, it's not even a fucking issue. Like, I mean, it is an issue, but.
Yeah, it can be dealt with afterwards. No.
Yeah, but like, and you said this to me, you were like, I see the shares being medium term.
Yeah. That's how I've seen it. But he just needs to see some progress, I think. I mean, I can't speak for Mehul.
I know, mate, but it's like me saying to you, where's my fucking WebRTC? Where's my TPS? Where's my this? Where's my that? You know, this shit doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time to fucking build and do it and develop it. And this is exactly the same with accounts and finance. You know, where's my solution? Well, it takes fucking time because, do you know what? Part of the solution may involve disbursements. Do you know how much information and knowledge I have of disbursements? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So what have I got to do? And yeah, if you want to go to another fucking accountant, fine, but no one's going to fucking care like I do, and I've already spoken to Albie. They don't have a solution. What they want from me is effectively me to fucking fix it. And
so my understanding here, to let me sort of quickly speak, is that PJ Marks kind of drafted up the accounts and they were ready to go, but in Neil and Pierce's sort of remarks were, you know, you've got £250,000 tax bill.
260 £62,000 corporation.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. It's a large tax bill. And you would need to face dealing with a payment plan to deal with that. That was effectively the way they'd left it. So I presume you're redoing stuff based off what they've got, but trying to adjust it.
Well, I've done Reconciliation 1 as an example, right?
Yeah, because I thought...
I've just done a revised version of it.
I'll
tell you what I think. So it's better than it was, yeah? So bear with me 1 second.
So just so I... A quick one. Basically, I thought there was some plan to reduce it down to 13 or 30k or something in that ballpark, and you had some plan with Albi.
How much?
Something very low, ridiculously low, like 15, 13, 30, something in that region.
How?
I don't know, but I know a few months ago you said you had a way of doing it, and that's why you didn't want it submitted early. I'm presuming that's off the table now.
No, it's not.
From your surprise.
I'm excited by the challenge. Yeah. Like this is like a maths exam question for me. Yeah. So imagine you walk into your final exams at Tottenham Institute of Management Accountants and they say, right, company is in this situation, how can you help it? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So I've done Reconciliation 1.
Yeah.
And in Reconciliation 1, I'm just bringing it up now. I've just done a revised version, and I believe in Reconciliation 1, I have identified 626,000 of additional costs that were not included in the calculations that
PJ Marks submitted.
Yeah. That, I believe that's just for jets. I believe there's another minus 6,720 to TTN, very not massive number, 18,000 to RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that generates, as a result, VAT and corporation tax savings of 185,000.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, it could be, let's say, 626. So let's say I've now identified 626,698,000. Now, I haven't just come up with that. Let me give you an example. How have I come up with 628,000?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, the reality is, 1 second, let's look at my numbers, 308,000
mm-hmm.
SP costs.
Yeah.
So that includes the contract, that includes additional payments to SP outside the contract.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's your genuine invoices. Number two.
Mm-hmm.
PGM invoices to jets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three. Kiris invoices previously invoiced to RAM, reimbursed by jets, therefore need invoices from Kiris to Jet Services Limited.
Yeah.
Rob and Nat have given me those invoices now. That's 47,000.
Yeah.
Provision by jets to cover obligation, RAN Limited had a bunch of debtors, right?
Yeah.
Including jets. Well, so per Steve Potter, RAN Limited had a loan debt to TTN and a loan debt to jets and a few other bills and so on.
And what about Matt Tongue as well, potentially?
I'll come back to that in a minute. But ultimately, it had those debts. So basically, RAN Limited decided that it had a significant creditor balance, so it decided to pay those bills pro rata. But it did not pay any money to Ranveer Singh, and it did not pay any money to David Bailey,
mm-hmm.
because this therefore evoked a potential challenge against the directors of RAN Limited, who at the time were Linton, and because I'm reluctantly at times, but at other times empowered to protect Linton, I therefore ensured that the directors of Jet, excluding yourself because you were being a cunt, made an undertaking to RAN Limited to cover RAN Singh and David Bailey costs so that they could not be challenged that they had pro rata preferentially paid to RAN and Jet. So, effectively, I can't remember the numbers, but say they had 100,000 owing to Jet, they had 100,000 owing to TCN, and they had 50,000 owing, well, 50,000 potentially owing to RAN and David Bailey. Basically, what they did, what RAN Limited has done, is basically paid. It is basically looked at its bank account and gone, right, I've got, let's say, 150,000. Therefore, I will pro rata pay Jet, pro rata pay TTN.
Yep.
But I'm not going to pay RAN, and I'm not going to pay David Bailey because those numbers are in dispute and not clarified. But because this therefore left a risk of somebody coming back to say you haven't complied with your fiduciary duties because you haven't prorated it to sit. Well, basically, I didn't want Linton to be in a position where Singh could come back and say, you paid Jet, you paid TTN, you haven't paid me or Bailey.
Yeah.
So basically, Jets wrote an undertaking as of the 7th or 8th or 9th of June, July. Yep. Something like that. They would cover the costs as of that date for Bailey and Singh, which was 30 plus 3, right? As in estimated maximum. And therefore that provides a defense going forward. But as you take this forward, the payments to TTN and Jet mean there is still about 30,000 owing to each entity of Jet and TTN, and therefore, when it goes to liquidation, you're welcome, by the way, for this fucking absolute fucking genius on this regard as well. Basically, the liquidator will say, well, hang on a second. Jets is obliged to make a obliged to make an undertaking to cover the costs or input 30 to 33,000 to cover Singh and Bailey. But ultimately, Jets is unwilling to do so unless RAN Limited pays the additional amount as is owed to Jets from RAN following the RAN Jet deal. Mm-hmm. So effectively, it would work out as RAN would pay 30 grand and Jet would pay 33 grand back, net BK.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that right now because we want to maximize the creditors to TTN and Jets such that Singh is a minority creditor.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Well, that's good because it took me a while to work that shit out. Anyway, so basically, RAN Limited has paid all its dues. It's pro rata, in a good position. Jets has undertaken to cover the RAN back costs. But no doubt, when RAN Limited goes into liquidation, Jets will say, well, look, you know, I'm happy to underwrite the cost, but ultimately I want my fucking debt paid. And we're going to be dealing with Richard Rhodes. And he'll say, well, that seems fair enough. I'm agreeable to that. But this is my assumption. And therefore, Jets will pay 30 grand to RAN and RAN will return 33 grand to RAN and RAN will return 30 grand. Okay? And then that leaves the other creditors. And luckily, David Bailey's bills are ranking up regarding Singh's action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all of this shit is against RAN. And given that, you know, what I've done with Stuart and ensuring that Bailey's got paid, which, you know, I didn't have to do. I could have easily put RAN into liquidation and Bailey would have got fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everyone fucking thinks Bailey's a cunt, but I felt that it was the right thing to do to pay him his money.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because I've done that, I imagine he will say, well, by the time we're finished, he'll go, well, I've got 20 grand debt against RAN. I'll say to him, keep your 20 grand debt against RAN, because we need as many creditors as possible so that Singh can't fight, hasn't got any power. I'll sort the cash out with you another way. And I'm sure he will go, yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So basically, RAN Limited winds up. He's got creditors. Singh's a minority creditor. Yeah. You probably saw my emails regarding criminal action.
Yeah, I did.
Did you read them?
I haven't read emails this weekend, but I did see stuff obviously earlier.
Okay, so Matt replied, so this will help. But you should try and read them if you can tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving you a hard time, Matt. I know what it's like. You get fucking emails, you're busy, blah, blah, it's fine. But it's like Matt replied going, well, fucking hell. Effectively said, fucking hell, all the work's been done already. And it's all there. I mean, basically, Brian O'Neill's literally he's basically written case management summary, offences, and he's actually even included the summons that the magistrates would issue.
Yep, yep.
My own view on the Singh matter is, and it's not necessary, and I'll be honest with you, it's not necessarily a commercial decision. Adam Vose, after the call the other day, said, hang on a second, if Singh hasn't really got a claim, yeah, why don't we just let Matt and Anthony fight the claim and tell him to go fuck himself, and it's therefore 10 grand, yeah? Mm-hmm. As in, they spend 10, 20 grand to fighting it and tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, well, then we come and, afterwards.
And he said, you know, that is, and I said, mate, why the fuck didn't you raise that on the fucking call? Like, that is the best alternate to the options that, on the call, do you remember, I read out six options. I said, I read out six action points, and, which were basically like, let's fucking bury him.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to send them out, which I have done. And then, Adam said this at me off the call. I said, do you know what, mate? Why don't we fucking raise it on the call? Because there actually is a very realistic possible alternate. And if you want to put your commercial hat on, I mean, you and I, this is a decision for you and I. We put our commercial hats on. Do we say, Matt, we will give you a consultancy fee. You fight him and tell him to get fuck off. I said, my own view is, and my own vote is, that's not what I want to do, but it's not my decision alone. I think it's a very valid alternate strategic option.
Yeah.
But my own view is that I'm fucking done with him, and I'm done with him on principle.
Yeah.
And I'm done with him because I don't believe he's going to go away.
Yeah.
And I think the plan you're proposing is too half-hearted, and I'm very well aware that prosecuting Singh is going to cost us money.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this, and honestly, mate, my decision is not commercial, and therefore I will be driven by the other parties, including yourself and
yep.
Mehul and Aubrey and so on. But my own view is I've had enough. Matt, Anthony Chung had a kid a couple of weeks ago, just filed a case against them. He's a fucking parasitical fucking scum. Disgusting motherfucking human being.
Yeah.
And I have given him more fucking grace than anyone fucking deserves, and certainly 50-100 million times more than he deserves. And I am sorry, and I spoke to my mother the other night about it, and I was in tears in my eyes, and I said, I cannot fucking believe he's forced me into this position again. The last time he fucking fought me, we fought over 13 grand. It ended up costing him 2 million. And he's going to fucking fight me again. And he, well, maybe he thinks he's fighting the Chungs. But the reality is, I could leave the Chungs out to dry. Let's be honest about it. Yeah? Much as you all think I'm a fucking cunt, I ain't going to fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my vibe. It's not my ethos. It's not my ethics. It's not my morality. And I will not fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the thing at Christmas last year, he said, I'm happy to do a settlement as long as I can sue Matt and Ran, and Matt and Anthony. But go fuck yourself, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what? They're not Matt punched me in the face at Christmas one year. I wasn't Matt's mate. But I ended up fucking standing up for Matt on the board, fucking Schneider and all that shit. I've told you the story standing outside the fucking building. Don't you feel sorry for it? Ramby was friends with Matt for fucking, like, what, a decade? And I'm not talking friends, we're talking...
best friends.
Like proper friends, right?
Yeah.
And he thought he'd won at that point. He thought he'd totally fucked him. Thought he'd take, Matt was going to lose all his shares, lose his job. They were looking at how they could sue Anthony working for Amplify. La 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 la. What did Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, mate, what did Anthony do wrong except fucking turn up and work 10-hour fucking days and become the best motherfucking analyst in the business and fucking do it for a very reasonable price?
Yeah.
And I know Anthony. Like, I don't know him, like, I do know him, actually. And not, like... No, I do. But, like, not... Like, I can't say, oh, fucking hell, I've been friends with Anthony for 10 years. But I fucking know...
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, just a fucking decent fucking guy.
Yep.
And I am fucking sick of this fucking Pakistani Indian motherfucking wannabe chip on his shoulder cocaine-taking fucking prick. And so that's for my decision is not commercial. My decision is basically when he filed that case after Anthony just had a kid, I don't know, mate, I just basically something switched in me in the same way. It basically took me to 3 years ago and it empowered me as I was 3 years ago. And I haven't been, I was fucking, and I am now. You probably hear more. It's like I'm fucking done, mate. He is a fucking cunt. He's a fucking disgusting motherfucking human being. And do you know what? I have given him.
Yeah, he's had more than that.
I have given him my fucking values because, and Vosi's values because we were once friends and I have tried to, and I've said, I said the other day, consciously, subconsciously, there has been something in me that has not wanted to pull the trigger. I'll be honest with you, I don't, and it wasn't a conscious thing, it was just, this thing's been sitting there for 6 months and I haven't done it. Now, if I really fucking cared, why haven't I done it? So I then thought about that and I thought, I haven't done it because deep, deep down in my heart of hearts, I fucking hoped he just would fuck off and we'd never have to do it.
Yeah.
And I take no fucking joy. In fact, I take less than no joy. I am fucking... Mate, I'm a fucking, like, almost a phobic of being in an enclosed place. So the idea of fucking prison to me is like death times 10. Like, I'd rather die than go to prison, right?
Yeah.
And yet, I am absolutely fucking done. Because Anthony... has had a fucking kid and he's fucking suing Anthony. Yeah?
Yeah.
I understand his position, mate. I understand that he's pissed off and he feels like he's lost his company and he feels like it was his company and la la. But he could have kept a chunk of his fucking company.
He
kept all of his company if he hadn't been a thieving motherfucker in the first place. And secondly, he still could have kept a big chunk of his fucking company if he hadn't decided to be fight.
Yeah.
All he had to do, let's be honest, mate, all he had to fucking do was pick up the phone, swallow his fucking pride.
Yeah.
And ring Adam or me and go, mate, I've totally fucked up. Please don't bury me. Please help me. And you know me well enough, mate, and Adam is a fucking 10 times the guy I am in terms of kindness.
Yeah.
We would have let him keep shares. We would have a fucking pension for life. Whatever.
Yeah.
Look how fucking generous we've been to Matt.
Yeah.
And yet, he fucking couldn't do it because he's fucking, well, because he's a fucking cocaine-fueled idiot, basically. And the reality is, and I also, this isn't what drives me, it's the Anthony thing, if I'm honest with you, more than anything that's driven me, because I feel like Anthony is a bit like Vosi. Mm-hmm. Like, they are just kind people, decent, kind people. And I love those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not me. I'm not that person. No, I'm not, mate. Like, I'm not Anthony. I'm not a lovely chap to everybody. You know,
Mm-hmm.
But I just think I have a duty to fucking stand up. And also, mate, to be honest with you, and it's the Anthony thing that mostly is basically clicked my button.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I honestly think that the reality is, as soon as you get, say, for example, Matt and Anthony paid the 170, right? Or he pursued it and got the money back. Mm-hmm. What do you think he's going to do next?
Yeah, he's just going to fight and fight and fight.
Well, I imagine, so these are the things if I was him, I would think about. Blackmail against George for leveraging shares in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Hacking against you.
Mm-hmm.
Etc., etc. So, I don't know, mate. I just feel like enough, man. Like, I feel like we spent... I almost feel like I or we have spent £1 million trying to keep Ranveer out of jail, and he is fucking determined. Like, he should fucking say thank you. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
Like, have I gone to the press about Ranveer? Have I gone to SEMA about Sonia? Have I gone to Sonia's employers? Have I gone to fucking call the police? Have I allowed my mum or my sister to go to the police? No. So all these fucking things that we could have fucking done, yeah, we haven't done because I fucking hoped there was some fucking decency and goodness in him. Go back to Stats. Like, he lives with his mum. His mum's house is worth fucking what? £600,000. 4 acres of fucking land. You know, his dad's dead. It's just his mum. Mate, I'm exactly the same situation living here. And I'll tell you what, mate. It's pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like, you see that charity thing I did the other day?
Yeah.
And I totally understand, by the way. You know, we should do like a structured thing where we all agree and say, right, we'll support this channel. I totally understand that. I would like no bitchiness about it. But like, I gave £1,400 because a friend of mine who I haven't seen for 6 years jumped out of a fucking plane and I thought it was a cool thing to do. And yes, it was a bit spontaneous, but that's me and blah, blah. And I asked the company to pay. And to be fair, I actually think it was right. Aubrey stood up and went, And I think it was right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Yeah. But Ranveer, yep. You know, like, why doesn't he, like, he lives with his mum, he's got no fucking rent, his wife goes out, she must earn, what, disposable income, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't fucking know,
yep.
Disposable income a month, his mum's got loads of fucking money, he's got probably £600,000 in that house, his dad left £800,000, policies, insurance, is low. He's probably, like, if his mum kicks the butt, he's probably got a couple of million, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just fuck off? And get on with his fucking life.
Yeah.
And do something fucking decent and positive. Yeah. Rather than saying, because I know what he's doing, right? He's sitting in Staffordshire going, I'm basically unemployable because I like to take coke and drink all day. And I'm going to fucking bury these bastards. And he said to Sonia, look, if I fight them and I win, I can get like 200,000-400,000 back over the course of 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. That's like £100,000. There's no tax on it. Like mm-hmm. earning £150,000, we're back in Stoke. There's, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And there's one major, major fucking component and gene missing from his fucking brain, which is that is a cunt thing to do. And Ranveer, the only fucking reason you are in this position, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, there's a number of reasons. One, you didn't pay my mum the £13,000. That's number one. Two, you basically told the two people that have been loyal to you for a fucking decade, working 12 hours a day running your business so you can go to fucking Dubai and buy fucking 15 watches or whatever you want to fucking do. Yeah? You basically told them, get the fuck over here, you fucking cunts. You work for me, you fucking cunts. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And told them to go fuck themselves. And they went, no, you're all right, mate, because they then had met a bird, both met birds, and those birds were saying to them, don't let Ranveer treat you like that. And the reason they were saying that is because they loved those men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And that Ranveer did not need to lose this business. Like, if you actually think about it, right? I fought him over the 13 grand, and then the TTN thing came out, right? And then Schneider fucking was like, right, that's like 400 grand. And then he met Ranveer and said, fucking hell, mate, you've totally fucked up. Now George can send you to prison. I'll try and speak to George, la, 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 la. Like, George is like, Schneider always speaks to me like I'm, as if I'd gone, like, I haven't got a fucking brain cell, or whatever. And, at that point, you know, Schneider was sort of almost backing him.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's just, you know, he didn't have to, mate. Like, I was talking to Matt the other day, right? And I said to Matt, and Matt said to me, right? And I was talking about the share shit, right? I was like, Matt said, look, if you want me and Anthony to take non-voting shares, then he didn't really say this. I proposed it and he was like, well, yeah, if it works, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I said to him the other day, I was like, look, if we're going to do this RAND thing, we're going to need to spend, we've got to fucking step up our revenue, mate. And ultimately, you're in a good position to step it up. So somehow this agreement, well, however we do it going forward, has got to be, like, I don't give a shit. Like, it can be the best idea in history to you because you're in a unique position. But let's say, I don't know, let's say we say, right, we'll give him a 50% ID, yeah? And he goes out and sells £500,000 next year.
Mm-hmm.
That means 50%, well, 250 to the business anyway.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, firstly, you take, so 30% on £500,000 would be 150. Let's say it's 50%, it'd be 250.
Mm-hmm.
You would take half of that, so you would get 125,000, effectively 25%.
Yeah.
And the other 25% would go against your debt.
Yeah.
So effectively, you're writing down your debt. So effectively, you're getting 50%. It's just that half is your cash and half goes against your debt and half goes to business. Right?
Yeah.
So we, and I think that's a good idea, right, to do all of that. And we were just chatting, like, trying to work out. And I was like, mate, I don't want to exclude you from shares. I don't want to exclude you from the business. I want you involved. I want to have a shareholding. I want you to care. Like, mate, for 10 years, I had fucking 10% and I got 20 grand a year or 15 grand and sometimes 25, but say 20 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking great. Right? 20 grand a year. I'll give you 20 grand a year in one-off payment every fucking March. You'd love it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I said to him, like, you know, it made a difference, mate. Like, it made a difference to my mum, you know, but I said, flip side, if Ranveer hadn't stole, or you guys hadn't stole, that would have been not 20 grand, it would have been 50 grand.
Yeah.
And it's not the money, it's the fact that, and I'll give you an example that always stays with me is, if we got 50 grand, let's say, instead of the 20 grand, then my dad would have got to see his new kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's, for me and my family, that would have been a nice thing for my dad to see, because they talked about it for fucking years, what they were going to do, and this, that, and the other. They hadn't had a new kitchen for 20 years, and la, 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 right? But I can't, you know, so no matter how much Ranveer pays today, or how much is fixed, I can't fix that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that scenario with my dad, you know. But Matt's a good bloke, mate. Like, you know, he's. I think Victoria's a massively positive influence, or him having a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
But ultimately, mate, I am fucking. Let me make this very, very clear.
My
decision is not commercial.
Yeah.
I don't give a fucking shit if we break even or if it costs us 200 grand.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a fucking cunt, and I think my hope that there was any decency left in him makes me naive and a fool, and I am done. And you know what? If it's Anthony and Matt today, it'll be me and you tomorrow, and then it'll be Adam and my mum and whoever the day after, however the roller coaster happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we've paid a lot of money already to get all of those documents and everything done.
Yeah. You've
literally got to pay $2,000 to issue a summons. I'm fed up of him fucking sending letters and fucking dictating to us. Fuck him. That's fucking burying. That's my view now.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree. Enough's enough.
I mean, like, I know you've said enough's enough for a while, but I'm like, enough is enough, mate. Like, I was upset the other night when my mum goes, I cannot believe he's forcing me to do this, to do this. Like, I begged him about the $13,000, mate. I said, don't fucking make it bite you. Like, I fucking hate this. Like, do you think, I mean, Jace, I haven't been happy, have I? Like,
no.
3 years. Do you know what I mean? And I said to him, don't make me do this. You know what I'm like. Mm-hmm. I don't want the fucking fight. And he's doing it again. But this time, he's not going to fucking suck the life out of me. We're going to do it as a team. We're going to do it together. We've already paid a chunk of fucking money, and if you take into account the tax savings by spending the money and the VAT savings and all that shit,
yeah,
and you know what? As I say, for me, it's just morally just enough, mate. Like, if, you know, Anthony is a really, really good chap. He had a fucking baby girl the other week, and fucking Rambir goes after him. You know. Rambit should be sitting at home going, thank fuck.
Yeah, I'm not somewhere, in jail.
somewhere hasn't called the police.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, mate, there is another side to this, right? Even though the first thing's done and we're going after the second on private prosecution, part of the reason for that, or one of the big reasons for that, is Claire Matthew.
Yeah.
There's nothing, if you look at the people that signed the agreement with Rambit, yeah? The company,
yeah,
as in the directors, there is nothing to stop my sister or my mom,
yeah,
or going to the fucking police, nothing,
mm-hmm.
and saying, hi, look, these things happened in the last 2 years. I'm really worried about my son. He's totally overworked. It's killing him. I've had enough. He doesn't want me to come here today, but I'm doing it anyway. I need to tell you about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And the police will, and I think the police will go, bang to rights. He's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is they probably also look at Matt, and that's why we have to do the private prosecution.
Yeah.
But I'm done, mate. I'm done with Rambo, mate. I'm completely and utterly and fucking end of. No fucking equivocation. No nothing. My vote is we fucking bury him. We bury him in criminal law. We fucking destroy his wife's job. We contact SEMA. We contact the fucking press. Everything.
Yeah.
I am fucking done. Because, to be honest with you, mate, particularly with my, in this, particularly in a conversation with you, I feel perhaps I've been a fool.
I won't reply.
But you think I've been too kind, don't you?
Yeah, I often have done. But look, I kind of worked with Rambir from a day-to-day basis, as did Matt.
But do you also kind of understand it? Like, do you also kind of respect that, like, we fell out recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have I buried you?
No.
Have you buried me?
No.
You know, that's... Friendships are valuable things, mate. And I'll be honest with you, my friendship with Rambir meant nothing for the last decade or whatever. But he was friends with Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah? And we did go to school together. And we do have a... And I do... He does have a friend called Phil Bartlett who is... Well, I've lost a bit of respect for because, well, that's, I know this sounds petty, but like I've un-Facebook friend him because, you know, he hasn't dropped one message to me in all of this to say, look, mate, I know it's shit. I hope you're doing all right. La, 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 la. Yeah? And basically, he sent those fucking messages to me saying, cannot fucking believe you've backed people who you've known for fucking 2 years or someone you've known for 25 years. And essentially, he's basically saying, I'm a cunt and I fucking betrayed my friend. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's basically what he said. And Phil Bartlett is somebody I respect and I'm, you know, I consider him a friend. He's a bright guy. But I don't respect for the way he's reacted to Ranveer because he's only listened to Ranveer. La, la, la. But I'm just fucking done with it, mate. He's not going to go away unless we bury it, mate.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Like, the idea of launching a new fucking criminal case, mate. It's not... I'm like, oh, fucking, for fuck's sake. Yeah? That's how I feel about it. But,
well, yeah, it seems tedious to do it almost, 3 years down the line.
In a way, I'm kind of proud of it, mate. I'm kind of proud that I didn't, like... I feel like I've done, you know, back on my 40th birthday, I spoke to Julia about it and said, look, I think these things are happening, blah, blah. And she just said, call the police. And fucking 3 years later, million quid, la la, haven't done it, blah, blah. And you can't say the whole million's game, whatever, but just had enough, mate. Like, you know, he will, I honestly think, if he gets the money, like, you know, your whole fucking, oh, hacks emails, blah, blah, like, mate. But what I don't understand is who the fuck is paying Quinn Emanuel?
Ranveer's getting it for free, as Mehul said.
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? He's getting it for free one way or the other, whether his mother's fucking paying it or whether East is doing him a favour. But, and I honestly think, I mean, I don't know, I'd be interested to see what you do think, but I think if we do the criminal action, I honestly think it will go to the steps of the court. And I think he'll either offer something at the steps of the court or he will go the whole fucking hog and go to jail.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say whether he'll either do that or do what Rich Dees says. It'd be one of the two. I think.
I think that's the point. So Mehul said that. He said, I think he'll take the advice.
Richard Dees will see it for what it is. And I think he would have enough trust.
I don't know if I copied you in or forwarded the email, but basically I've got back in touch with Nigel as well, and I've sent him all those documents. So should be able to get an affidavit from Nigel that will support the case as well.
Yeah, that's...
Because basically what Nigel was saying is, I don't really, when Matt sent him documents before, he was like, I don't really understand the angle you're going for here.
Mm-hmm.
And basically now he's got all the fucking shit from Brian. Well, basically I'll just work with Nigel and we'll just write the affidavit together, to be honest with you. But ultimately Nigel's on board and, you know, I've touched base with him last week or so. It was his birthday on Friday, so I sent him on, but happy birthday.
Fair enough. Cool.
So basically, Singh matter, we just bury him. I have a big exam question on my current, on all the accounting shit. What else is priority for you? I have one other matter I need to raise with you and kick you in the fucking nuts every day about going forward.
What's that? TPS?
Well done.
Yeah. No, something's been worked on. I think we're gonna need to have our own.
Something's being worked on. We're nearly there. We'll be there. Let's be honest, Jace. Yeah. And I don't want to sound like a prick, even though I am a prick in your eyes and probably mine. We need a fucking solution because we need to bury the motherfucking competition as well.
Yeah.
So basically, there's two graves, one for Ranveer, one for Live Score in the competition.
Yeah.
And TPS is a big, big, big part to play in that.
Yeah, okay.
It's also a big, big part to play in keeping Yogesh, so I think.
Yeah. Understood. Okay.
So, between you and me, where are you at with it?
So, it's basically a case of going a little bit back to drawing board because the solution I had does not really work in the environment that we are having to use it, where we are relying on a third party.
I had this same conversation 4 weeks ago.
So we need to get our own. one way or another. The trouble with that is we need to find a way of budgeting for it or getting that.
Okay, so now I'm a bit annoyed.
Yeah.
Because I had this conversation with Jürgen literally 3 weeks ago.
I'm okay with the technical side of it, but I don't really want to be liaising and doing the sourcing of it, let's put it that way.
That's great, go fuck yourself. Because at the end of the day, the only people that are going to go source this are you and me, and I told you recently, if you and I fall out, it may as well be game over. I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
And this one of the reasons, well, this wasn't in my mind at the time when I said that, but I just know holistically, yeah, if you and I work together, yeah, we can do some cool shit. If you and I don't work together, well, honestly, mate, it's game over for everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I honestly do. Well, what do you think? If you and I fight, I mean, I don't think we are fighting anymore, so it's not cool. But, like, seriously, like, if you and I fight, and it's not just about the fighting, it's the fact that we're fighting means we're not working.
Yeah, it's not productive.
Symbiotically, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, you and I are the only fucking people that actually get our fucking hands dirty and find ways to fucking fix shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say, oh, I don't really want to be one of those. I don't, fuck off, mate. Honestly, like, fuck you. I don't want to either. But if honestly, if you and I don't fucking do it, it won't fucking happen. Now, you can do it as Bob Smith, and I definitely will be doing it as John Doe, yeah? But, like, honestly, mate, who the fuck is going to do it if we don't do it?
Okay, all right, yeah.
Think about it. You know the team we've got. Yogesh is potentially one person, but, you know, again, I would say to you, this has been going on for 2 fucking months, we still don't have a fucking solution, and yet... I spoke to you and Yogesh and said, we need something by Monday, what, 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about tearing strips off people, mate.
No.
This is about, it's nothing, I don't give a shit about politics, right, as Stuart would say. The reality is, we have to do something, well, Yogesh has to do something.
I think I think that probably is better to be Yog, because he know, look, the trouble with sourcing stuff is you need to know about it. And I know Ranveer asked.
2 years ago, we had this fucking conversation over and over again, and we went through fucking this option and that option and fucking James Trouble, and we had a private office in WeWork and blah, blah, blah. Right?
So,
agreed?
Yeah.
We are about at exactly the same stage as we were then.
Yeah. So, my position on this is that some years ago, Ranveer asked me to inquire about getting a similar system because he was concerned about getting it himself. And I know that when I applied to get it, they tend to, and it was the same 2 years ago, they tend to interrogate you about what you're going to do, etc., etc. And it's not something I... Yeah, but
interrogation, their interrogation is not really interrogation.
No, but I think it's better it comes from Yog. And the other thing I think is it's better that if he's using it, then he should have skin in the game. I think it's safer for everyone.
Do you see? I understand. I understand.
No, I think that's also why I kind of think if that's the case, it should be, you know, because I'm doing
the Can I be honest with you? I don't give a fucking shit how it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it happens.
But, yeah.
Yeah, no.
And if you want, at the moment, I'm always feeling like I'm going to have to do the whole motherfucking shit myself. And that's not really fair because I'm trying to do fucking legals and accounts, and at the moment that accounts is a massive thing. But the problem is, mate, if you think back to 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Moving office, hacking fucking computers, setting up emails, like growing a better set of fucking behemoth balls. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Who did it? I mean, you can. I mean, I'm going to be fucking honest with you, mate. I talk about Lintz and Aubrey helping and Lintz, but let's be honest, there really was two people that led it, and they are on this phone call.
Fair enough.
No, it's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Like, I fucking hate you for it in part because, wink, wink. I honestly probably wouldn't have made those decisions in the boardroom if you hadn't been so amical of fucking out. Yeah. I don't regret it, mate, because if you actually think back to the whole, imagine if we hadn't done it. Yeah. If you actually think back and think, oh, fucking hell, we haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
All that would be happening now is Schneider would be, well, basically, you and I probably wouldn't even be there, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And Schneider would be basically, he'd probably be making good profit, yeah, out of the business.
Yeah.
And all of that would be going to his various divisions for finance, legal, secretarial, offices, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, my mother would have got a fuck all dividend. You probably wouldn't have a job. I definitely wouldn't have a job. And we'd never ever have been masters of our own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we fucking fail and all this goes tits up and la la at some point, well, fuck it. We put our fucking balls out there and we're gonna fucking go. And we should be proud of that, mate. Because, well, he's a fucking wealthy guy and, well, at the time I didn't really think it through. But in hindsight, I'm like, it's probably quite a ballsy thing to do.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I don't know, what do you think?
No, it was.
Would you regret it? If you think that, do you think we should have stayed with Schneider?
No, I think the same.
Because my family say to me, there is an argument that I should have just played the political game with Schneider and just worked with him and been like, how about this? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Nah, I don't know. I don't see the advantage in that. I don't kind of see it.
Well, so say for example, I had worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had basically said, right, look, I'm not going to fight Schneider. I'm too scared, yeah? Which is basically what Ranvier said to me, yeah? Because I remember having conversations with Van about it. I was like, why don't you just fucking move the whole thing to like a small fucking office in Dulwich or something so you can drive 2 minutes up the road to be in the office?
Yeah.
Yeah? And save, you know, whatever. 75% on costs.
Yeah.
The office. And the thing is, obviously, Matt and Randy obviously looked at this like leaving
Definitely.
Schneider.
Yeah.
And then he just read, no, I'm not going to fight Schneider. But then, to be fair, mate, he probably had seen all this litigation shit before. Like, he'd probably seen Schneider sue this guy and sue that guy and blah, blah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably, in some ways, that's probably why he settled.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure he, given the situation now, I'm sure he's fucking kicking himself. He settled.
Yeah.
Because he didn't settle for you and me. He settled because he was scared of Schneider.
Yeah.
And I said to him, "Fuck Schneider." He's like, "No, mate." I was like, "Fuck Schneider." And he was like, "No, mate. Schneider will fucking kill us." I'm like, "Fuck him, fucking cunts." I was like, "Why are you fucking?" And then he was like, "I'm not going to find Sonny."
Yeah.
And Rambi was scared of something. And if you look at the fucking pain we've been through, you can kind of see why.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get it.
But I totally back what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens. Otherwise, we'd have just been fucking pawns, kicked to the side, and we wouldn't. Like, think how much you fucking learned, mate, in the last 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
My mother always says to me, she's like, God. And I just get these job offers, right, at the moment, like, from LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck me, that's an awesome job. Shame I don't never ever want to work again after this. Okay, so anyway, practicals. So TPS, mate.
Yeah.
So let's actually address this point, right?
Yeah.
So basically, I spoke to you and Yoga. There is some functionality Yoga's using. Obviously, I don't condone it, but I hear a rumor that there is some functionality he is using in the office. Yes?
Yeah, yeah.
But he gets that from a mate, right?
Yes, and we don't control it. That's my problem with
it.
So
it's a bit like services provided by Brad. As in, yeah. So he can't control it. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, I've spoken to Brad and said, can he help? Essentially, the answer is no.
No.
His view is he lives in the most litigious country in the world, and it's hot potato.
Yeah.
Now, I have been a massive advocate. Like, effectively, everyone said to me, the company's dead if we don't use Orange stuff, right?
Yeah.
And the company has not died.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But we are.
Yeah, it hasn't done us favours.
We are busting our fucking nuts to come second. And the reason is, effectively, we're in the Tour de France. Everyone else is using EPO.
Yep, yep.
Steroids.
So, as I say, so, I'm happy to develop a system. All it needs is, I think it's better that
some sort of trading company working out of some sort of
office. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's
needs a service. The problem is, mate, and you cannot say I don't want to be involved in that, because the reality is, you and I have to make this work because no one else will, and we can include Yogesh as that.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, but I think Yoga has to have some skin in the game, because the other thing is, you know, we have the threat of what if Yoga was to go to and work at Bloomberg, where his mate is obviously working, James Harai. So we should ensure that. Why?
Because of that comment you just made?
Well, look, I came to similar deductions without Stuart saying that, because
No, I've had some really, really good chats with Stuart recently.
And the reason why I say that is because before even Stuart brought it up, I noticed Yoga was constantly seeing James Harai. And I, you know, it doesn't take...
I don't think Yoga wants to work for someone like Bloomberg.
I don't think he wants to, but I think you need to hedge against it, because if there are concerns...
Okay, can I say something off the record?
Yeah.
So, I spoke to Lynn, so you heard it. I don't know if this was the LSE you missed or not, but I don't think it was. I think it was last week. I have repeatedly said on those fucking LSE calls, does Aubrey have everything he needs? Is he fully informed to make or to secure those people?
Yeah.
I spoke to Yogesh on Friday, or Thursday or Friday, and he said he barely had a conversation with Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
But, what does mm-hmm mean? Like, that's not cool, mate.
No.
Because, like, we've got to keep... And it's not just Yogesh, it's like...
Everyone else.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, those two are pretty... I mean, Danny as well, and to some degree Jay, but Jay's pretty fucking loyal to me, I think, and blah, blah, blah. But it's... You know, like... And I had to raise it. I raised it twice on the call. And then, you know, they were like, no, I've had the conversation. And then Lynch went, well, we won't be able to take holidays until 2019 now, so we do need remunerating for that. And in my head, I'm like, what? Well, hang on, isn't this the fucking conversation all we're supposed to have? As in, what is the remuneration to make you commit? Because, and I said to Aubrey the other day, and I've got to address this tomorrow if I can. I'm so fucking tied up with accounts, but, you know, this is critical. It is, what, you know, we can't be, like, you know, Aubrey just said to me, why don't we increase X, Y, Z for Lynch, Danny, and Yo, yes?
Yeah.
And I said to him, I want 6 months notice period for all senior staff going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
I can understand why senior staff don't want to give that. Yes?
This is where the shares, though, come in, really.
Yeah, but the problem is, mate, it's a bit like you. So, basically, and this is part of my time with Mel, like, you know, where we talk about shares or whatever, we're basically linking into the performance business. You've been very open and forthright with me, mm-hmm. so it's easier for me to try and fix your issue. It's basically, you know, like, I know, without going into the detail, I know roughly what Jason wants.
Yeah.
Yeah? Therefore, if I can support what Jason wants whilst tying that into him to the business,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and with the greatest respect, I know you were like a bit recently, but deep down, correct me if I'm wrong, deep down, I think you're a bit like me.
Yeah.
You know that this might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be part of something
mm-hmm.
that can basically provide an income for your life on the terms you want it to provide, blah, blah. And that's exactly the same for me, mate. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I think you see that, and you've always been, you know,
mm-hmm.
aside from the blips recently, but you've always been pretty committed to the company.
Yeah.
I think deep down in your heart of hearts, and I'm exactly the same, I want the company to succeed, and I want the people that have been part of it, like you and me, you know, to do well of it, hopefully for the rest of our lives. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I think you see that, and you also, if we can get back and make that work, then we also get to kind of do it on our own terms, like,
yeah,
you know,
it's our own bosses, yeah.
And I get to chat to you, and we talk about fucking whether it's Bulgaria, and all those cool shit we used to talk about, but it's coming back into the fray, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a new opportunity. Yes, I'm not saying, mate, I could go and get a fucking job for, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, yeah? Honestly, yeah? You could go and get a job for very good money,
mm-hmm.
yeah? I don't want to go and get a job for hundreds of thousands because it won't be my baby. Mm-hmm. It won't be my fight. It won't be all this shit we've been through. And the same, and I think that's exactly the same for you.
Yeah.
I know you probably both, I mean, I've been at times like, well, if it all goes tits up, I don't even fucking care anymore. It's just not, it's not fun. It's wank. It's blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I've been like that at times. Mm-hmm. And I know you have. But deep down in our heart of hearts, I think we're quite similar, you know, that, this is a unique opportunity. I honestly tell you, Jace, 42 years old. I didn't go to Eton. So I didn't get 25 mates setting up fucking venture capital companies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of punts in maybe I had 3, 4, 5 punts in a few things. Yeah. But this was always the biggest thing and always potentially the best option. And the way it's all fucking worked out and don't, you know, we fucking paid Schneider off, blah, blah. Like, I fucking want it to work, mate. And I want me to make money. Mate, I don't even fucking... What the fuck am I going to spend money on? Like, I don't fucking... What the fuck do I want? I don't... there's nothing really... Honestly, I'm not being a dick. I mean, you want a house, right? I get that, yeah? I have a house. You know? It's like... I do genuinely want it to fucking work, right? And... The problem is we have to secure the likes of Lintz.
Yeah.
So with you, I have the conversation and, you know, in my head, I'm like, I can sort Jace out and he'll be happy. And I need, yes, I'm going to link you into the forms of the business because it's basically you've been a tit recently, but also I probably would have done it anyway. And actually that's good business sense. And actually you'd think I was an idiot if I didn't do that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the problem is, like, you know how you're like, I want help with property. The problem is, does anyone see value in the shares? Because my concern is, I basically had to ring Linton about 5 fucking times because he was sulking about this whole fucking directorship, right?
Yep.
And finally, did you see the email the other day?
I saw an email, yeah, so probably...
Fine, I accept my directorship, blah, blah, blah. And I had to ask him to be explicit because we need to fucking take action against Singh, basically.
Yeah.
And we need to wind the company up. So I need to know, if he wants to be a director, fine. make your vote, blah, blah. And I said to him, if you want to go back as a director, go back as a fucking director, right?
Yeah.
He'd be a fucking fool. He would have been an absolute fucking moron to have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no benefit to him except hassle and risk. But nonetheless, you know, I said to him.
You've got to give him the option, yeah.
Yeah, because I said to him, totally fucking free choice. I mean, he fucking begged me to resign, but then because of the way I did it so abruptly, because I felt threatened, yeah, I think he took issue with that.
Yeah.
Yes? Fine. So I didn't want to say, you have to do this or you have to do that, because I'm trying to repair.
Yeah, that damage.
And reinstate the fucking awesome shit we have had, and, you know, relationships do go up and down and blah, blah. And if you fucking jump out of a fucking relationship when it's difficult times with anybody, yeah, you never build that long-term value, yes? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I didn't want to fucking force him, but I was like, look, it's totally your fucking choice. If you want to do it, do it. We don't do it. And to be honest with you, it would have made no difference, because we would have taken a vote. No doubt he would have agreed to the vote to wind up Ram, et cetera, et cetera. But I had to ring him. Maybe it was partly because of that, but
yeah,
you know, and we spoke about this before any of the difficulties and so on, which is, you know, ultimately Linton just wants to get paid a paycheck on PAYE and put his money into an ISA, right? We have that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to ring him like five times. I was like, mate, I'm just trying to clarify what you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, are you interested in property? Are you interested in getting a mortgage? Are you interested in shares? Are you interested in money? And effectively, he's interested in money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, and this is my concern, we talk about share options. But say, for example, we said to Linton, we'll give you 20 grand's worth of share options, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Based on current valuation of the business. Or what do you think Linton would actually think that's worth?
He'd probably dispute it.
Well, he'd probably see it. He'd be like, well, I don't think that's worth anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
And therefore, this is my issue, and I haven't got a solution to this either at the moment, but no doubt there is one. But how, ultimately, Linton Yogesh, although I'll tell you something about Yogesh post-chat last week,
mm-hmm.
which was really positive, but ultimately, like, how do you, like, okay, so, Let's me and you now chatting as leaders of the business. Just put your hat on, right?
Yes.
How do we keep Linton if all he wants is money? Because any normal company, as you say, would offer share options. Yes.
Yeah.
And the value of it. So, like at WeWork, do you remember that guy James who used to run our floor?
Yeah.
Remember him? He used to text me. He's like, I've got like 12 grand in share options.
Mm-hmm.
It was like something, and he was like, I lose them if I leave. So I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why you want share options, right? Because you want people to say those sort of things.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you give share options to Linton, he'd be like, I'm leaving anyway because share options are worth jack all.
I think he's...
So, oh, I've just come up with an idea.
He feels... Share
options, hang on a second. Imagine this.
Yeah.
Share options, minimum guaranteed value in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or 2 years. Was 5 years, whatever the fucking time. So say, for example, we go, look, we'll give you share options. Current valuation is this.
Yeah.
When you sell, if you want to exercise your options, yes, we guarantee they will be worth it. So I'll exaggerate the example. We will give you £20,000 worth of share options today. You can't sell them for 3 years. If you sell them in 3 years, they are guaranteed to be worth 50 grand.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's probably the solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically saying, even if you don't think they're worth anything, we will guarantee a minimum value.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. And this is why chatting is good. No, because I think that's the solution.
I think with Lintz, he's almost like I said the other week when we basically kicked up and were at loggerheads with each other. He feels that there are certain elements in the business that are just not functioning very well, so he's got a very pessimistic view of things.
So what bits of the business could, because, okay, so let's...
I think it's a case, if you're going to go down that route, though, that's taking time to heal, isn't it? So the other option is to...
I did feel that his most recent email, which basically said, thank you for your, George, for your advice and direction. I understand with your expertise, you know, you would be able to get it. Basically, if it all goes tits up, George, you're to blame. He kind of put that in. But he also did do, which I thought was almost a little bit of a sign of humility again, mm-hmm. was, I didn't want to argue about this. Thank you for the blow. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So I felt he was coming back. And let's be honest, I feel like the LSCs have gone really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have got on the call. We've run through in a fucking agenda. Decisions have been made. We've allocated stuff to be taken offline because we can't, you know, and I think keeping them short and punchy is good. Yeah. Otherwise, people are like, fucking hell, I can't be asked to defend the LSC. You know, it's got to be an hour max.
Yeah.
And I think given that they are, if you think about it, they're basically in their infancy.
Yeah.
And what I do think is that at least it gives the opportunity for five people to get on a fucking call and people, you know, at least share the fucking opinions and drive that shit forward, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but I think it is at least a step
in the right direction. Yeah.
No, but don't let me put words in your mouth. I'm basically telling my opinion. What do you think?
No, it is. It's definitely been a help. I think everyone's agreed that. I think that's a fairly unanimous and obvious thing.
Well, that's fucking cool, though. No, but that is, mate. It's a very simple thing, but I do think it's... Like, I'm pleased. Like, I'm glad you said it. Because I feel the same. Aubrey's been saying exactly the same. He's like, I think they're going really fucking well, mate.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think, you know, no doubt they're probably... There's this whole model, isn't there? Norming, storming, performing, whatever it's fucking is. But it's basically like, you know... I don't know, like, we no doubt there will be some disagreements, la la, but at least things are all getting raised.
Yes, people know where they stand.
Aware of the issues, and I think it is. I think that it has been and is a positive thing.
Yeah.
I think there's more to do, but I think definitely. It is at least, as I say, as you say, step in the right direction, and we'll build on it.
Yeah.
But when you say, so you think Linton feels, what do you think Linton's, but I also think Alex coming back has been a big plus, do you?
Yeah. Although, yeah, I think it's a difficult one to gauge, but I definitely think he has.
I'm not saying his net ROI is fucking amazing. Yeah. But I think from a stability, stroke, morale, stroke, providing some additional drive to that area, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Again, step in the right direction.
Definitely, yeah.
Stuart.
I think Stuart is slowly coming round.
I was just going to say, have you spoken to Stuart recently?
A little bit, but I think he's been... Look, with all the...
I think he's still frustrated.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think he resents the fact that Alex is now getting paid decent money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, did you tell Stuart what Alex is on?
No, so I don't know how he got to find out, to be honest.
Yeah, so I can't work that out either, because he was like, he's getting paid more than me. And I said, Stuart, I fucking promise you, albeit he did get a sign-on bonus and shit, but... I said to Alex when we were talking about, so Alex wanted $4,000, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, mate, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. There is no motherfucking way in the world I can pay you more than what Stuart gets. And I said, because small company, whatever, it will just come out, or there is a risk it will come out and it will just destroy morale and all. And within 2 weeks, not even that, within 10 days, Stuart was going, well, he gets paid more than me. And I was able to say, no, he doesn't, mate. Now, bonuses aside and sign-on bonus and all that shit, but then, you know, Stuart got paid a load of fucking money in the past and Alex didn't and all that shit. But I think Stuart's got, but I think the problem is that Stuart's got an issue now that he's split, he's like, one, he was like, when Alex was fucking pikey and on like 1500 in his view, he was like, I'm happy to share my fucking sales. Yeah. Now he's not, now he's like, why am I sharing my sales?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had this challenge?
So I've had something of a similar effect where Stuart now feels like Alex is stealing his income. So he's closing off Stuart's leads effectively.
Well, so yes, you had
exactly the same conversation. So yeah, had similar conversation. I think that the general thing is to make sure that anything that Alex brings in, you need to make sure Stuart is getting money for, and that's been recognised, because at the moment,
Stuart... Yeah, the problem is. If you're my honest opinion, if Stuart makes a sale, it should be Stuart's money, not 50-50.
Yeah.
Because Alex is getting paid enough now.
Yeah.
Do you agree or not?
Yeah. The situation is, what do you do when Alex closes a sale that Stuart was one of Stuart's leads? That's when it becomes 50-50.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is the thing I don't understand. At the end of the day, Alex Bourne is paid £1,500 retainer on top of his commission to handle the administration of accounts. So in my head, let's say Stuart comes up and goes, right, I've got ABC Limited on trial, they're ready to close, then Alex should close that deal in terms of allocating access to the accounts and all that shit, but ultimately, in my opinion, should be the account manager. Mm-hmm. i.e. in that case Stuart, who determines the terms of the deal. So basically, say for example ABC Limited ring up the office and say, hi, you know, Stuart introduced me, blah blah, we'd like to go ahead, la la la. Well, basically the office should then, in my opinion, the office should reply and say, well, you'll need to speak to your account manager, which is Stuart Petman in this situation.
Yeah.
Confirm the terms of your deal. And then Stuart should then ring the office and say, he's on this number. Because basically, I think there was something in the day where they basically offered a loyalty deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Stuart lost 30%. And Stuart was like, well, I don't need to offer loyalty deals. I only ever sign people up for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand what. So take worst case scenario. He's like, I'm Stuart. I've got ABC Limited. It's a hundred, let's say it's 10 grand a year, should be 3 grand to me. And yet, what's happened is that 10 grand, they're given a loyalty deal. So they've closed it in the office. They closed it for 7 grand because they're given 30% loyalty deal off.
Yep.
And now it's, so now I only get
fraction. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
2,173 grand. And also, Alex Piper has also closed it and thinks he's entitled to half.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm not getting, so I should have been getting 3 grand for my 10 grand sale. Now I'm getting 2,100 because of the loyalty deal, and now I'm getting it half with Alex, so I'm getting 1,050 versus 3 grand.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking that through with you, I can see his point, right?
Yeah.
So we should raise this at the next LSC.
Yeah.
I did raise it with Aubrey. But I said, don't act on the, I think it was fix it or something, and then torture. That was another thing about torture.
Fix it, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, look, you know, please don't go back to Stuart about this, because obviously it'll be obvious it's come from me. But, you know, it does need to be addressed. And the other thing is, mate, right, I don't know if you have any view on this. Incoming calls, right?
Yeah.
My view is, why are they not being opened up to all salesmen?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, no, that's why I'm asking you, because I don't know either. But my view is, why aren't they? I said to Alex Piper the day, I was like, you know, at the end of the day, they come in and then they don't get replied to for a week because Alex is busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alex,
A, that,
yeah.
A, that's shit for customer like response, but also how is that fair really across the entire sales team?
Mm-hmm.
Now obviously Alec won't like it. But then on the flip side, Alec used to give, you know, pretty much half his book to fucking Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, he used to. The problem is that Alec doesn't like Stuart.
No, this is it. There's definitely something there.
And I don't want Stuart in the office full time, mate. I think it will be a negative impact. But on the flip side, like as you always said to me in the past, I think Stuart can add a lot of value. And, you know, at the end of the day, look how many fucking emails and proactivity Stuart's sending in a week.
Yeah.
Like I can't keep up. Well, I can't keep up. I was going to say I can barely keep up. I actually can't keep up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many emails do I get from Alex or Aubrey or so? Well, you know, none.
Yeah.
So. So what do we do?
Yeah, I think there's got to be something talked about between Alex and Stuart, as I say.
This is why on the last LSC I was like, yeah. I want to have a sales report by person per week.
Yeah.
It's basically to drive that, you know, to say, look, fucking people need, you know, that's surely this is how sales teams work, right?
Yeah.
As in, you know, like a fucking Glengarry Glen Ross or whatever that fucking film was, they stick it up on the fucking wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sales per week per person, everyone's fucking, it's visible to everyone. People are embarrassed if they're shit. People are fucking loving it if they're great.
Yeah.
Surely that's what we fucking need, right?
Yes, definitely.
So we don't need to address the solution right now, but I do think that we do need to address it.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
I mean, like, also, I'm concerned that, you know, Brad's numbers are significantly down, yeah? And, you know, it'd literally be a travesty if we lost to the US fucking sales market. So we should be pushing business to Brad for that reason, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we just give all the incoming calls that are based on US clients to Brad straight off the bat? And this comes to, you know, what Stuart used to say, like, how do we get visibility of it? And so that I'm going to ask you, at the moment, how do people get visibility of incoming inquiries?
It's all going through Alec at the moment. If there's an income contact,
explain the process to me. Is there a way that we can basically, Aiden on a daily basis can say, right, these calls came in, right, those are US, Brad, you pick those up, right, those are A to G or A to R, right, they're Alex.
I think when a new user signs up, there is a work, you know, look, you can see that someone's in the US and it's a case of just saying, right, Brad needs to close that deal and hand that over to Brad.
Yeah, because at the moment we've got is Alex fucking, you know, Alex's commission is the highest it's ever been, right?
Yeah.
And yet we've got Brad struggling in the States. We've got a new salesman who needs to make, like, you know, Alex, for example, like if we said, right, Alex, you can cover A to F, you know, G to R is Alec, and S to Z is Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
Even something stupid and simple like that,
yeah,
would at least be like, at least they're getting their fair chunk of incoming calls. And that's not to say because obviously there's all the other shit we want to do, like get out there, sell white labels and proactively go and sell.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's be honest with ourselves, we have stayed afloat for the last 2 years because of incoming calls based on our name.
Yeah.
Or actually, Ranveer's name.
Oh, I don't know about Ranveer's.
Oh, no, not Ranveer's.
Give him too much credit. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But the brand. The brand.
It's what I'm saying fucking ludicrous. Because to me, it sounds fair that people all get a fucking... Mm-hmm. Pop the cherry, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but don't just agree with me. I'm, you know.
No, it's definitely, yeah. It just some way of agreeing that, but that's something that I think the salespeople need to agree, and that solution should be delegated to them to agree upon themselves, Because if you propose
on a technical basis,
yeah,
is there a way? Because I've just come up with a very manual way. Aidan provides a list at the end of each day saying these people have got, once at midday and once at the end of the day is probably better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saying, these are the trials, right? I'm assigning them to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not Aidan's not assigning them. Basically, these are the trials. Yeah. These are the US, they go to Brad. These are A to G, they go to Alec.
Yeah.
A lot. And this is going to become more important when Alec starts spending time developing CRM, for example.
Yeah. I think it's a case of let the sales team talk about this because they're the ones who should come up with the solution. It's for them. If we propose something to them, they are only going to pick it apart and say, but it's unfair for this, it's unfair for that. The reality of it is, whatever happens, it seems like Alec is going to have to compromise in this, and therefore you don't really want a situation where you and I make ourselves look bad to Alec. Let Alec decide that amongst his peers, and that forces them to negotiate rather than, what I'm trying to avoid is the dictation.
No, I understand exactly. This is
The dictator.
And because of the shit I've had recently, what I've tried to do is, I don't know if you remember the first LSC, I spoke to Aubrey and Avance and said, look, mate, this is what I'm thinking, this is maybe the way to do it. And then we get on the call, and Aubrey's like, so George, do you want to explain everything that you think? And I was like, well, not really, mate, because this is about empowering the team and therefore I'd rather go last.
Yeah.
In terms of, points people want to raise, but they earn a lot. Because, I have my views and I'm a strong character and, ultimately if I'm massively passionate about something, I'll do my best to drive it through. But, I have to accept that I've had to learn something, in the last few months, 6 months, whatever, that albeit my intent honestly has always been good, that my lack of time taken to maybe explain things to people or to let other people have it. So for example, sometimes I'm on the LSC, I'll be honest with you, and I listen to it and I'm like, why is this a 20-minute conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Like the answer is fucking obvious.
We often think the same with you, to be honest. So it always happens. If we're talking about stuff, and like for instance, months and months ago, we had that sales call. And it went on for 3 hours or something. Look, it always happens, regardless. When you're having phone calls with stuff that to get people on the same page, there's always going to be a bit of.
I'm chatting to you tonight, right? And I was like, I have been bashing my head about how do I get Linton and so on or share options to be of value, mm-hmm. right? And I know I ramble and ramble sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as a result of this chat tonight, I've come up with what I think this call is is what has created a solution in my head, which is, we will give you share options of X, but we will guarantee minimum price of X.
Yeah.
So in a very simple thing, as I said earlier, we'll give you share options. You can't sell them for X period of time, which is what every fucking company does to tie people in. But let's say in 3 years, we guarantee the minimum value of those share options will be $50,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they have just become of value.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about it. I'm Linton, 26 years old. If I leave, I lose that $50,000.
Yeah.
Because it's not even, it's like better than you get at other companies. And the reason we have to do that is because we've probably lost some credibility and faith in the share value.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are a data miner and you've just gone and raised, let's say, 100 million. For Apex Partners as a VC thing, then everyone's like, ooh.
But yeah,
let's also be honest, as far as I'm aware, none of us fucking went to Harvard. And, let's be honest, mate, we've all fucking learnt a lot. You know, we're all learning. You know, we're not perfect. We're learning. You know, this is our story. This is our experience and so on. But case in point, rambling with you tonight, I think that's a fucking brilliant solution.
Yep.
Don't you?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. It's again.
And I've been sitting here for 2 weeks going, I'll just give Lynn some money because he'll just take the money and fuck off. And that's terrible for the company.
Yeah.
You know, and you can link it in. And that's the first step. You can guarantee a price, but you can also then link it into dividends and so on. Anyway, but the problem I have got with what you've just said, yeah, is you've just said let the sales team work it out for themselves. But the problem, what I fear often happens, is, so say, for example, you and I chat to Aubrey or Alex and say, okay, we want to, or the next LLC, we go, right, we want to raise this. We go, right, we propose the following as a draft. Please take it to the sales team. Yeah? I just sometimes feel that it's a bit like also about CPS. Those things don't get driven through. And then the next time we talk, it'll be like, no, we've decided to leave it as it is. Now, I think, so say example, what I was just talking about, like sales allocation. And then you and I, and this, well, I'll say me, this is how I sometimes feel, is like, well, that's just a shit decision.
I think it will have to be that something will happen because ultimately it's in their interest to do something. They are the direct...
When you say their interest,
as in,
it's not in Alex's interest. Is
no,
it?
No, but I mean everyone else's. Alec can't let the whole team down either. That's the other side. Is I guess what I'm trying to say.
No, and to be fair, he's never ever really been like that.
No, and so therefore,
And this is something I don't like about Stuart. Sort of, it's almost like an underlying current. You know, this whole stealing this, stealing that, you know. We've never had that at a company. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's ever said, oh, he stole this or he stole that. You know? Have we? Or,
no.
Well, I've certainly never been. I've always.
Well, no, with, other than Rambo.
I don't know, but even like with Jeff, you know, like, Alec was very fair to Jeff and said, here, you have 1 week, I'll have the other week.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do that. But he ain't doing it for Stuart, is he?
No, this is it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we just raise it with Aubrey and then see how they get on. And then if it doesn't sort itself out, we raise it at the LSC. And if needs be, take a vote. And basically, I assume the vote will come out at, because basically everyone's business focused, the vote will come out as what's best for the fucking business, right? What else is Linton not happy about? And this, and by the way, the TPS thing as well, not so much for Linton, because I think he'll be nervous about it, albeit he doesn't really know what it is, and we don't have to tell him, and it's just a blue box that gives X, Y, and Z. What else is he not happy about?
I just think things just need to be more settled, because...
If we lose Linton, mate, we are in trouble, right?
Yeah, but that would be more because of personal disputes, I think, than...
I have bit my tongue.
I know.
Fucking believe, mate. Well, in that first couple of LSCs, Aubrey was sending me texts going, mate, what did he say to me? I can't remember exactly the text. He was like, well, something like that. Bite your tongue, breathe. Mate, you and I have had our run-ins, but... And you've given me shit, and I don't agree with a lot of stuff you said, and la la la, but Linton has been very personal in his attacks. So, not much said about this with the business, but, like, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're just alluding to.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's hard to hear when, ultimately, I actually do still, and have always tried to protect him. But it is what it is. But what else do you think? You know, I'm asking, what else do you think? Because ultimately, if he has got issues, we need to try and address them.
Yeah.
Because he's important to the company. So, you know, what are the other things you think he's worried about? Or do you think we're just, it's about the shit from the past and we are moving in the right direction. It's just about continuing with that.
yeah, things need to be cleared up. I think, I'm just trying to think what there is. I think the thing with Lintz as well is he needs to be able to feel like he hasn't got to always resolve stuff through us. If there's like, if he needs to get someone on the desk or whatever. And occasionally maybe.
So I'll be honest with you. And I imagine the same, you will tell me that the same criticism has been laid at me.
Yeah.
Linton has often said to me, not often, that's not fair. A few times has said to me, you know, do I report into fucking Jason now?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when we did the whole Rand Jets thing, right?
Yeah.
And your name was the only name on the door and all that kind of shit. You know, I think, like, I think in my head, I was like, nothing's changed, as in, you run IT, we're a team that leads the business, yeah?
Yeah.
Together, blah, blah, blah. Lintz is head of desk, you know, blah, blah. And yet, you know, yeah, I think Linton was like, do I fucking report into Jason? Do you know what I mean? It was almost like, it was almost, maybe it was the title, or maybe it was the fact that you were a director, maybe it was the fact that it was called your name. I don't know, but, you know, he was like, have you ever, you must have felt this, mate. Like, he feels like, you know, he's so protective about the desk, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine you've probably heard exactly the same shit in a slightly different format, but about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he, like, you know, he, I said to him the other day, I said, I'm done, mate. I'm not running shit past you anymore, because you literally won't let me fucking speak to anybody. It's ridiculous. I said, you've got a fair feedback. Like, you know, the other day I sent a message out, haven't spoken to people for a year. They don't know who the fuck I am. Like, I accept that, right? So your feedback at the LSC or prior to the LSC that week, I think was totally fair. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't appropriate for me to send stuff to the desk. There should have been a communication going out. So even if the communication said, here's the org chart, George is a strategic advisor, he may contact you from time to time. Yeah?
Yeah.
That would have at least laid the landscape, and then when I did contact, people would know what it was about, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I felt that the criticism laid at my door, which was, that hadn't happened and you just sent out fucking emails, I felt, yes, you're right, I should take that on the chin. It was in, I should have handled that better. Better comms, la la la. Yeah?
Yeah.
But he, and that's fine, okay? So I'll accept that. But, you know, and this is the thing I was going to tell you about Yogesh. But Lintz is so protective of the desk, sometimes it's, I don't know if you find this, it's like sometimes you need information from the desk, and yet, so like take the Henry thing, or take, yeah. I've just been talking about with Lintz, or take well, a yoga, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, no, we've had these conversations, like Aubrey will say, or yeah, we've spoken to Henry, la la. Yeah?
Yeah.
I spoke to Henry the other day, and he was like, I would fucking love it if you offered me a job and gave me a sponsorship through you. Why would we not do that, mate?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but you've already spoken to, this has already been offered to you, hasn't it, through Aubrey and Adam. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, they've not mentioned it. A bit like when I say on the LSC recently, have we definitely, to Aubrey, have we definitely put down what will keep Liz and what will keep, like, there's no point just giving them more money, mate. We've got to do something more substantial than that. We've got to fucking say, look, and this share options may be the fucking solution, right? It's basically got to be something like, you know, here's your money, here's your pay rise, and here's your fucking buy-in and shares to the company.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be more than just, like, fuck it, same for you, mate. You're like, you know, you want property and sorting your property out, you know, and whether we do share options with you and the share options crystallise to pay off your property, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do something like that. I don't know the answers to all this, but it's not enough just to offer Lintz and Yogesh a pay rise and to ask nothing in return. We've got to say, we want 6 months, 12 months tie-in, whatever, or we want 6 months tie-in and we're going to give you the share options, which we think will tie you in for 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever we fucking decide is an appropriate share option offer.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think it's, I do think what people have said before is fair that, yeah, so, you know, maybe we Google and say, well, I'm not even going to Google. I actually literally have a fucking really close friend who's basically just been recruited by Funding Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be head of their fucking employee rewards, and her specialism is share options. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the girl that introduced me to the people at, BLA.
Yeah.
So I just asked her, I actually said to her last conversation, I spoke to her a couple of days ago, and I was like, she rang me to ask me, basically she was like, shall I stay at Blue Chip Mazars, which is like the eighth biggest accounts firm or something, or shall I go to a fintech?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the by, I said you should definitely go to the fucking fintech because, well, basically the reason was she's miserable as fucking shit and she needs to do something different, right?
Yeah.
But whatever. But, like, you know, I said to her, oh, can you explain to me how I can basically just do a simple fucking CS scheme, how it was the easiest way to do it? And then I never got back. I forgot at the end of the conversation. But you know, she'll say to me, look, every fucking share scheme in the world for every fintech or startup basically says you will get X shares in 3 years, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, 10 days, whatever the fuck it is, right?
Yeah.
And then I think we should say, well, hang on a second. We basically moved from Heron on this date. We effectively became a startup on that date. The people that came with us on that date, basically, it's not fair that they have to serve another 3 or 5 years because effectively yeah. they've already done two.
Yeah.
So they should only be like, in 1 year, they'll get X. Their shares yeah. can be exercised. Yeah?
Yeah.
But then, you know, this isn't a one-off thing. You know, you then say, you know, well, okay, cool. And then next year you say, we'll give you some more share options and they'll be worth a minimum of X.
Yep.
Like that's how these companies keep good talent, right?
Yep.
So, you know, those are the sort of things that we need to be having the conversation with Aubrey and Yogesh about, right? But the really positive thing I was going to say is, so that's wicked because I think I've actually now come up with a solution to that. But the other wicked positive thing of the day with Yogesh was I was chatting to him and I was like, you know, like we all know Linton, like the idea of change to Linton is literally like cutting his nuts off. Yeah. So, you know, we on the last LSC, if you remember, we picked up on the idea of, you know, I was like, look, we have to assign product development to somebody. It can't just be a whiff or waffle. We've got, you know, and then we've got finance, legal, business development, IT, but there has to be somebody that's providing product development, owns product development.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is basically a link between the desk and you, really.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you could say, well, Alex can pick that up, but really, you know, business development. Well, yes, they should be part of it, but ultimately business development is about getting out there and selling the wares. Really, the development of how do we make our fucking products better probably
yeah.
does fall to the desk and you and the LSC as a wider group. But when I spoke, which I stand by, but when I spoke to Yogesh the other day, and this is the other thing I've heard from
lots. This is where Yogesh, I think, is good, though, and I've always said this.
Yeah, but Yogesh was like, I have no interest in attending the LSC.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, nah, not for me. And you know what? And I've heard this from other sources as well. Even all the shit Linton gives to me, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yogesh and other people in the office and feedback is, that Linton is incredibly professional and positive in the office.
Yep.
So, whilst I don't love being the only person that's getting shit, yeah, actually, I was over fucking joyed to hear this.
Yep.
Do you agree, though?
Yeah, yeah. I think.
Because it's hard for me to compute because he gives me so much shit.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And yet, then I've got. You know, let's say Yog and Orb and ABC saying he's fucking awesome. He's an absolute leader. Never talks about anything to do with fucking senior shit, but very positive. And I, you know, so then I'm like, he's a fucking cunt for the shit he's giving me. But then the other side of me is like, what a fucking legend.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, like, that's fair, right?
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, I have to put on my shit and, you know, it is what it is. I'm a big boy-ish.
So
anyway, Yogesh was basically the thing I was going to tell you. Yogesh was basically saying, basically he was massively praising Linton,
yeah,
which was great to hear.
Yeah,
and also he was like, and also